Hello, everybody. I'm Amy.
And I'm Haley.
And this is the Amy and Haley podcast.
Today's episode is about Alone With You in the Ether by Olivie Blake.
A very popular TikTok book.
Yes. I saw it on TikTok under a lot of videos where people were like, this book changed my life. Amy, do you feel like this book changed your life?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think it changed my life.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
Okay, that's good.
Which ties into our rating. We should rate and then...
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
4 stars.
Nice. Solid. We're back on track. Matching.
We were off there for a little, but we're back.
So, okay, for everybody who hasn't read it, this book is basically about these two characters. One's name... Their names are...
Reagan. Reagan is the girl, and she works at the art museum.
As a docent.
And what is a docent, Haley? For those of people who don't know.
Like a tour guide thing.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. And the other character is...
Aldo.
And he's a professor, like a math professor, abstract math. And so it's basically... It's a story of how these people meet and sort of become friends and lovers and where that goes. And so Reagan is kind of like a free spirit. She does what she wants. She gets bored with life very easily and she's kind of like chaotic, I guess. And Aldo is more of a thinker. He's in his mind a lot and is not really good with social cues.
And they both struggle with different kinds of mental disorders.
Yeah, they both. I think Reagan has bipolar disorder, and Aldo, maybe autistic?
And, like, depression, which is mental health.
Yeah. So.
They're both struggling internally with their own issues, and also navigating this new, learning how to have a relationship with each other and growing through that. So I think a lot of this book is not too focused on, like, plot.
Yeah.
It's more focused on, like, character development and really focusing on this, like, analysis of how these two people are separately and then together. And then taking the reader through that journey.
Yeah. I thought the author did a very good job of creating these characters. And I like how they start off separate. And you really get to see how their relationship grows sort of as friends. And how they, like, interest each other. And then how it develops into more of a relationship.
I agree. And I know that going into this book, I was a little worried because I know that the author's writing style, it feels very intellectual. And so I have read The Atlas Six and The Atlas Paradox. And kind of going into that, I was curious to know how she would write a love story. And so I think that for me, it was... The difference between like 4 and 5 stars was that I think a lot of it was really quote-unquote like... It was really smart. And I do think I missed, like, a lot of things probably went over my head because of that. And so because things went over my head through the writing style, I felt disconnected in certain portions of the book. Where I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, I don't get it. And I'm, like, trying to, like, reread it, but I don't understand it. Then I just say, oh, forget it. I'm just gonna keep going. I'll figure it out later. So I think, like, that was where that's how it was, like, missing the star for me. Where through those moments of disconnect, I felt like, oh, I don't really feel as connected to the characters. And I think, for me, I liked the beginning of the book more than the end of the book.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree with that. Just because I liked seeing them separately and living their separate lives. And especially, I like the part where when they first meet, Aldo, like, they meet at the art history museum, which is, you know, where she works. And so he likes to go there to sort of relax his mind kind of thing. And so that's where they meet. And so she found him in this room and she was intrigued by this guy. And so she kind of, like, talks to him. And from there, he kind of is intrigued by her and, like, likes her mind. And so they're like, we'll do six gatherings.
Yeah.
And I liked that, like, seeing. And also the way that she divides her book, I really liked. She had it in groupings. And so, like, the six meetings she had in, like, one chapter sort of thing. And so I liked that more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I liked the six conversations. I think that was something that was, maybe it was, like, the only thing to, like, hang on to in regards to plot, where it was going somewhere. Like, when is the next conversation? What are they going to learn from each other from this next conversation, right? And that kind of drew interest because it did the job of allowing us to better understand the characters with each interaction, but also build that foundation between how these characters have a relationship, right? Where are the connections and how are they building them? And so I liked those a lot. Yeah. But I do think, like, after that, I got confused more.
I do, like, yeah, her writing style, I feel like she changed it after. And especially when they're in a relationship, I feel like there's, like, literary points that I miss, sort of, like, how she created this story, that when they're together, it's, like, a different read. And so it kind of gets convoluted in the sense of, like, I feel like they're very in their mind about things and less having a discussion between them.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I do think that it was a good thing that we got to see them separate first, instead of just diving right into, like, them being together. Because I do know there are different, like, romance stories where it jumps right in, right? So I think the beginning, like, saved the book for me. Whereas later, like, when you go into, like, how they act when they're with each other and how, like, the internal dialogue in their head while they're, like, with each other, I think it makes sense because you kind of know that they're already, like, struggling with things. And so, in a way, it's like, oh, maybe it makes sense that it's more chaotic and you don't really know, like, what's going on. And it's trying to grasp at things and figure out where this relationship is going. And maybe that was, like, her purpose for switching it up on us. And we're just kind of exactly in the head of the characters, right? But yeah, it was a wild ride.
I feel like it hit a lot of some of her major themes in terms of, like, how relationships work in between people and, like, what love is. And the fact that I wanted this relationship to work so bad. She created this story that I was like, I want them to be happy together and I want it to work out. And so I felt kind of sad, you know, and especially as two people with mental illness, that they were like, how much are you willing to be a burden towards your partner, kind of thing? And I sometimes think about that a lot too. And, like, ideally you want someone who loves you regardless of how you're acting or something like that. And so they talk about it that Reagan's like, I want someone who loves me for me and not just the me that's on medication. And then Aldo, you know, he's like, I love you no matter what you do, kind of thing. And that's something that I think everybody wants. And you sort of see in the story how it might not be the best for them, that because it was like just a whirlwind of emotions.
Yeah. And I like what you said because it reminded me of how Aldo, like, accepted her for who she was. But then also, Reagan was someone for Aldo to just, like, share all these, like, random abstract mathematic theories and all of that. And going back to theme, it's really about everyone wanting someone that listens to them. And even if Reagan didn't really understand all of the things that he was saying, I think it's that, like, that human connection where you want to feel heard, you want to feel seen. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, between the both of them, it was, in a way, like, the same, right? He was not really a social person, and he struggled with that, like, aspect of his life where he's like, oh, it's fine just being, like, not talking to anyone and being introverted. But being with her, he was able to be himself and just how she, that's what she wanted, too. She wanted to be be seen.
Yeah, and she wanted to hear everything that he had to say. Like, she just loved his mind, regardless that she understood. And so that was really sweet. But also, when she said that she just wants someone to, like, ask her to stay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Because sometimes, like, I don't know if you felt this as well, but for both of the characters, they have aspects of themselves that you I kind of see myself in. Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, everyone wants someone to stay. Sometimes Reagan is like, I self-sabotage, and no one I've been with was willing to stay or, like, even wanted to hear my thoughts on it, that they were just like, oh, she's crazy. And then she meets Aldo, who is more willing. She's like, look, I'm here for you, and, like, I don't want to leave unless you want me to leave. And so that whole battle between whether someone should love you for how you are, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's always that balance. I'm not sure if it's just, like, a girl thing, but it's, like, I agree. You want someone to want you, and sometimes it's, like, I want to say, like, I want to stay, but then I don't want to say that I want to stay. I want you to tell me. Like, you want me to stay without me having to tell you what I want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, you want validation from the people that you're with without having to ask for it or seem needy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also society telling you that you should be a certain way in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, you don't want to seem needy. But also, there's, like, oh, you should communicate how you feel. But then also, if you communicate too much, you'll scare people away. It'll be too much. And the worst thing is that you don't want to be too much for a person. You want them to feel exactly how you feel and not keep thinking in the back of your mind, am I a burden? Are they secretly just pretending to like me or want me here? So I like how this book addressed that, and it really showcased, just, like, brought to light that these feelings are real. Like, the readers who are reading this book, they know what that feels like.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's why people like it so much, is because they see that. And, like, having it written down, it shows you that you're not crazy and that everyone sort of feels this way. So be able to read these characters who have similar thoughts to you, it's, like, comforting.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that everything you look for, like, read, you kind of see yourself in it, and that's what makes you like the book. But then I think that for Olivia Blake to write a book where it showcases all the bad stuff in, like, that you have to go through in a relationship, as well as, like, the highs and the lows, I think she did a really good job navigating that, where sometimes I think in other books, they just, like, graze the top of it. They just touch upon how maybe there's some, like, struggles and, like, oh, you don't love me because I've been through trauma and stuff like that. But they don't really, like, dive really deep into it. And I think she did a really good job in this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so when I read what this book was about, I thought it was going to be different.
Mm.
And I feel like it's been like that for every single book I've read, where they... It gave the impression that there was going to be, like, time travel. Did you feel that at all, or no?
No.
I was just dumb and oblivious. Because it, like, talks about... Okay, like, specifically right here in the cover, it says Chicago sometime. And you get a glimpse of it in the book when Aldo was kind of... At the beginning, his whole thing is that he's kind of talking about, like, alternate universes sort of thing. And that... So that's more what I thought it was going to be about, because I do like that concept that there's all these different timelines.
Yeah.
And I like it when he was like, yeah, you know... If you could just, like, step over into a different timeline where you're a different person, or just, like, some things are different. I thought that was more where the story was. That was not it at all. So I was like, oh, okay.
That would have been interesting, though.
But it's, like, the way it ends also, you know, I feel like they brought it back to that they were, like, maybe in a different timeline we're together and we're able to be together, and just, like, in this one... You know, in this one, it didn't work out, but maybe on another one, we're walking down a different corner, and we meet, and we go...
Okay, so, I have in my notes right here, ask Haley about the ending.
Well, great!
So, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was so confused. Oh! I didn't know what happened at the end!
We like the very end?
Yeah, so, okay, this is what I got up to, right? Please tell me if I read the wrong book. Because, okay, spoilers incoming, a lot of them. But, so at the end, basically, he sees that she counterfeit, like, the art, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, you haven't changed.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, like, sends the spiral where it's like, oh, I don't think that we should be together. Like, we're not good together. But then, can you tell me what happens at, like, the museum portion? Like, he goes to the museum. He sees that she made an artwork about him.
Yeah.
Like, bees and stuff like that. And then what? What happens?
I feel like I have to reread the chapter. Because I feel like they both came to the conclusion, right, that, like, they're not good together.
But then I was confused with, like, she was watching him look at the art, and then she was, like, impatient about something. Like, oh, why isn't he doing anything?
Well, she wanted him to say something to her, but he just left. Mm-hmm. And then she had to go meet him at the apartment. I just don't know how they both decided.
And then they called each other, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what does that mean? So is that what you were talking about? That when they called each other, they said perhaps in a different life.
Yeah, that she was... Okay.
Okay, yes. Yes, Haley, please.
No, I feel like I have to reread it. It's so important to do this right after I read it because... So I feel like the ending is open to interpretation because I feel like the ending is satisfying for me.
What is
your... Is it unsatisfying for you?
It's unsatisfying because I felt like I didn't understand it.
Okay, because I think what happens is that she sort of creates these paintings that she's like, to show Aldo that, like, she gets it. She get what he's trying to say. And he sees it and he's like, oh, okay. And then he goes home, sort of, and I think he's like walking home and she calls him. Mm-hmm. And I think she's like, because that's when she has the epiphany that, like, she loves him. Mm-hmm. And so I think at that moment, the author sort of like, leaves it up for you to decide because she says that he ends the conversation by saying, like, oh, well, I see you at home. And she's like, yeah, I'll see you at home. And then the author sort of just says it's, like, the same but slightly different. So maybe, like, in the sense that in this time, like...
Yes?
I think, like, so, yeah, it brings it back to the beginning when they're talking that, like, one little thing can sort of change it. It changes the whole timeline. So... Ultimately, you can decide, today, we're walking home, and we're going to go, and we're going to be together, but maybe in a different time, we're not together, that, like, this fight was the end of it, and so maybe that's that, but that's not now. Does that make sense? No, it's okay, you don't have to lie to me.
So they're together.
Well, it's in my head, they're together, especially because, like, that's when she realizes that she loves him.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because in my head, they were together at the end, too.
Okay.
But earlier, you were saying...
I know! Yeah, I don't remember!
I was confused! But it makes sense now. And I like how you say it's open up to interpretation. Because maybe those are the greatest books. Because when it's open to interpretation, then more people can be satisfied.
That's true.
Because you can choose.
Because I think that's what I remember from it, is that they had a fight at the end. And that was that. And that's why I remember it that way. But I think it's because in that moment, they're together for now. But you don't really know what happens at the end, if they actually end up together or not. Mm-hmm. So I confused you in the middle. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I don't remember anything, really. The thoughts are gone. Some of my quotes, I, like, turned down the ones that I wanted to talk to you about, I think.
Oh, excellent.
That this one says, sometimes doesn't happiness seem fake, like it might be something someone invented, an impossible goal we'll never reach just to keep us all quiet. Do you feel like that sometimes? Like, you know when people say the goal isn't happiness, the goal is contentment?
Oh yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think that life comes in waves, so you're either like really happy or you're really sad. But if you take a step back and look at all your emotions over a range of time, a lot of it will be right in the middle. So I guess, like, to the quote, I don't think that happiness is something that unattainable or should be seen as like, oh, it's not realistic. But I think it's really more being able to find happiness in the moments.
In the little things, yeah. Sometimes when I'm, like, feeling really down, I do think happiness is totally fake.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not, that everyone's just faking being happy.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're supposed to do. But then other times, like, I do think happiness in the term of the total elatement that that word makes me think it should be is not real.
Like, happiness is different every time.
Yeah. I think joy is the better word. Like, finding joy in, like, the little things.
I agree.
Because, I do think, like, joy seems smaller, whereas happiness mm-hmm. seems like this overall feeling that's supposed to be overpowering and everything. And I don't really think I feel that
mm-hmm.
a lot of times.
Yeah.
I think I fake that.
Maybe happiness is an accumulation of a lot of moments of joy.
Yeah.
But what is...
So, like, when you think of, like, is there a moment where you're like, yeah, this was happiness?
I'm sure, yeah. There are moments.
Okay, that's good.
You have moments too, right?
No, I don't think so. Like, happiness?
Like, happy.
I was happy. Because I think, you know, when you're hanging out with friends and you're laughing and you're sitting there and you're thinking, like, this is good. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. Remember that time when we laughed?
No, I don't think we ever laughed together.
Oh my gosh. See, now you're thinking about it. That was happiness.
Anyways.
Read me another quote.
Good interpretation. Let's see. Okay, this was, presumably time is a completely different shape when you're only living in the immediate present.
Ooh.
That I think this is when they were talking about this tribe in Brazil
mm-hmm.
that they don't prepare for the future and they don't store food, just whatever they have, they eat.
Mm-hmm.
No religion, because what is religion except the vague promise of a reward nobody's ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense that, like, someone who doesn't really think about the future might be living differently than someone who's, like, and that's I think that was one of my big things, like, in one of our earlier episodes,
mm-hmm.
that trying to live more in the present instead of focusing on the future, because if you're just planning your life mm-hmm. versus how you want it to be in the future, you're not really living in the now,
mm-hmm.
and then your life kind of just passes you by like that.
Yes. And I recently read an article, or someone was telling me about how children are able to enjoy their lives more because they're too young to be planning anything ahead of time. They just do whatever their parents tell them to do. And so that's the difference between, like, being a kid and then when you look back, you're like, wow, I had so much fun as a kid. But because it's not just that you had no responsibilities, but it was because you really didn't have a sense of time. But you were just there. Every moment was just the next moment without you thinking, like, oh, dinner is going to be at 5:30, and will I be eating at home or will I be going out? It's just whatever.
Yeah. I think it's definitely finding a balance because it's hard. I think that if you do what sort of makes you happy now, as long as it's not totally horrible for you, I feel like the future just falls as it should, as long as you're sort of doing things that are beneficial towards you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'm focused on, like, oh, is this the right thing for my future? But ultimately, if you just are like, whatever happens, happens, and then that's just where you are eventually, I think I put way too much stock in, like, trying to analyze how this action is going to affect me in the future, and I need to not do that. And so that's why I was like, yeah, I should live more in the present.
I think it ties in with everything we've been saying, where it's just a balancing act. Everything is balanced, no matter what. If there's a question, the answer is always balance. Yeah, can't live too much in the future, but can't be too present.
Because does that ever, like, throw you into a crisis? Because I feel like you're a planner.
I am planner.
And so, I mean, maybe you're more of a successful planner, so nothing you plan ever fails sort of thing.
There's plenty of failures. But I do try to balance. Because, I find myself... So the struggle for me is definitely, like, being more present because I'm always worried about what's going to come next. But I think that as long as there's like a general outline of what's next, then that's like quote unquote the plan good enough, and then figure out as you go. So if I think about it work wise, we have discussed this before. But I have like I write down 5 things that I want to get done for the day, and then at least like if things pop up, I have a guide. Like I look at my schedule and be like, okay, well that was the 5 things and what can be adjusted and what's not. But if you have those guidelines, it's not like super structured, but it helps you out.
For me, this past few weeks or so, I've been seeing a lot of people like graduating from grad school and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it did kind of like, oh no. And I was like, I have to get off of social media because it makes me feel like I'm behind.
Oh yeah, me too as well.
Okay, yeah. And so, but I'm like, it's fine, is what I tell myself.
Yeah, because you're on your own track, right?
Yeah. Ultimately, my life has led me here, and that's that.
Also, I wouldn't survive grad school. But it's not about, like, the idea of going back to school, but then once you're, like, in school, then my mind goes crazy because I'm like, oh, can't focus.
Mm. Well, I was saying that school Haley is totally different from work Haley.
Oh.
Because I am so undisciplined, and that is something that I've been trying to work on, but, like, in college, for example, I didn't go to class a lot because I didn't feel like I had to. Like, it wasn't mandatory. You know, there wasn't anyone
forcing you.
Yeah. And so work, you have to go every day because the option of not going to work is horrible. Like, literally, you can't just not show up. So it's so easy for me to create a routine, like, because you have to. Whereas with school, it's like, I, you know, waking up and going 8 to 5, fine, whatever. You know, no thoughts really because it's required versus school. If I think of, oh, like going to school 8 to 5, the option is that I don't have to go to class, so I will not go. And then my life starts to like dwindle down the drain. And so in my head, I would like to go to grad school, but I'm like, I don't think I'm equipped for that because just a spiral downward is too much. And in my head, I'm like, I've changed, but I haven't changed. Until I start doing something voluntarily, then maybe I'll have changed. But so far, nothing.
Which is funny, because when you started this thing about, well, that you were 1 minute ago, I thought you were going to go in the other direction. Because I only knew you in high school. And I was like, wow, Haley was great in high school.
Sure was. Because guess what?
Mandatory.
Everything's required.
So that's why I was like, wow, I thought you were going to say you were really disciplined in school. I was wrong.
No. So maybe with, like, grad school, it's different because you have to go to class every day, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not willing to risk it right now.
The first day of class, the professor. You don't have
to. I know. I'm like, don't say that to me. My ears are plugged.
Yeah.
I have too much my dad in me. Anyways, next one.
Next quote.
Well, if time really was a trap and I was on some sort of predetermined course, that would be a relief. The idea that I might have options or other time spaces to occupy is a little overwhelming. For me, I found that really relatable because I wish I had a predetermined course because there's too many options. It's really hard to decide what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. See this more as like a destiny thing, right? What is your destiny, but you choose your destiny? So is it destiny if you choose your destiny?
Okay, because here's the other thing, is that it's always got me like thinking, you know, when some people say God has a plan for you,
mm-hmm.
Does he have a plan? Like, and then when people say like, oh, you're off God's plan, okay, but if it's the plan, then is it just like, I'll get back to it eventually, mm-hmm. and that itself is the plan?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, like, how much is it planned, are you telling me, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people have different ideas, because, you know, some people say, like, yeah, no matter what you do, eventually you'll come back to the course that right. your life is supposed to take. But I think you have to, I guess, be willing to be open to coming back.
Yeah, definitely open to interpretation. Because, like you said, if you go off the plan, how do you know that is not the plan for you to experience off the plan and then come back? That's the grand plan.
Because, like, if we didn't start this podcast
right.
when we did, eventually, would we have started the podcast anyway? Like, is this podcast
part of the plan?
You would think so. This podcast is supposed to teach us something valuable in our lives, and we won't know that until later, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it teaches us.
Okay. Later is now.
Guessing. We can't be for sure. But my prediction is that it is teaching us commitment to something that is not forcing us to commit. That makes sense. Like, at work, like you said, you're committed to work, and there are consequences if you don't go to work every day. But for this, there's actually no consequence if we just stop the podcast.
There is consequence.
What is the consequence?
No, it's funny because sometimes Amy tells me that I don't have to release this podcast on Tuesday, but that is the only thing keeping this thing off track. I was like, once you tell me, I don't have to do it, and one time it doesn't come out on Tuesday, we're goners. There's no, I'll be like, well.
That's a lot of pressure on yourself. You know. Is that always in the back of your mind?
Well, okay, here's the thing, Amy. I live on deadlines. I cannot exist without deadlines. If anything's just willy-nilly, it doesn't get done. It will never get done. And in that sense, in my head, it has to be a deadline.
Well, I'm really proud of you.
This is commitment.
This is episode, I don't know, 25, 26, 20, 24. In the 20s.
It is episode 24, I think.
Nice. And so that means you have committed for 24 weeks.
I think less than that.
23 weeks.
I think less than that.
Within the maybe. 20 weeks. That's really good.
Thank you.
So I think that's a good plan.
Great.
Excellent.
Excellent plan. Okay, I think that was all of mine. Anyways, I liked it.
Yeah, 4 stars.
Yeah, I'm surprised you rated it 4 stars.
Well, I liked it too.
That's good.
Yeah. So it goes into the pile where the good books that TikTok has recommended.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the only one.
Well, we've got a couple.
Do we?
Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
That's true. You're right.
Verity. It hit the 5-star mark.
Okay, did it though. That's dicey. Yeah, it was good. Thank you for TikTok for telling me to get it. I bought it, so, you know.
It's shiny.
That's good.
And can be annotated.
I know, I was going to highlight them, but then I was like, nah, I'm not ready for that.
Do you annotate your books?
Well, no, normally I don't own them.
The ones that you have? I know you went on like one book spree where you bought these books.
Yeah, but I feel like this is the second one out of the books I've read.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was horrible. Absolutely horrendous.
You lent it to me.
No, not yet.
Oh.
I was supposed to. Did I give it to you?
You did.
Oh, have you read it?
No. I'm reading books on our list right now.
Okay, look, Amy. You have 2 of my books then.
I do.
You know what? I was going to give you a third, and I thought about it. She doesn't get this one until she returns the other books to me.
This is how this Haley library works. You can't grab as many books as you want from the library.
Well, because I was going to give you The Happy Place from Emma.
Oh, did you read it?
No, not yet.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got other stuff to read.
So you get me.
But I bought it so that you wouldn't have to wait in line at the library.
That is so sweet.
Well, we'll see, because I know you have a bunch of other stuff from the library, and I thought, I'm not sure when Amy's going to even have a chance to read this.
I'm going to really try really hard to just read all the books I have without putting anything on the
list. That's a good goal.
That's going to be tough.
Because I had to read Tomorrow ASAP because it was due on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to read this. I gotta get it done. And it's long. It was longer than I thought it would be. It took me... I was like, I have to sit down. Anyways.
We should talk about it.
Yes.
In our next book podcast.
Yes. 2 weeks.
Yes. Tomorrow.
Read it. Beat it.
Yes.
Okay. Our song recommendation. I was thinking, like, I wanted to match it with a book, but then I didn't do that.
Oh.
And I have... Oh! I remember what mine was going to be, because I thought about it, because normally I never have one. And I don't know if this necessarily counts.
Okay.
However...
Is it a TV show?
No. Okay. It is a song on YouTube, though. But it... Okay. Let me just tell you what it is. It's not going to be on Spotify.
Okay.
So that's the whole thing. I don't think it's on Spotify, at least. But There is this, so Dear Evan Hansen is like a musical. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
It's a musical. I love the soundtrack. The soundtrack is so good. You guys have probably heard Waving Through a Window.
Oh, does Sam Smith sing a song for this?
It's possible.
Okay, sorry. I interrupted.
I didn't listen to that, maybe. Anyways, they have this one by, it's called For Forever, and on YouTube specifically, I want you guys to listen to the one that has, it has like all four Evan Hansens from like the different sort of Broadway showings.
You should leave a link at the bottom of the description.
Okay, Amy, if you think that I can manage how to do that, maybe. But it's, okay, I want to say it's this one, but it's the four Evans sing For Forever. Oh my god, guys. It is so good. It is blow your mind good.
We should listen, watch it after we finish this podcast.
Okay.
So, in the same vein of Dear Evan Hansen, Sam Smith did, I don't know, like, how it works, like, a cover or soundtrack for it, but it's Sam Smith and Summer Walker. And the song is called You Will Be Found, which I actually think you played while we were driving one time.
Oh, is that your recommendation?
Yeah, that is my recommendation.
Okay, well.
Actually, I think that song fits the theme of this book, so read the book and listen to the song.
Okay, because I'm like, to be honest, Dear Evan Hansen is a musical about, like, you know.
Oh my gosh, so, yeah.
Minty bees.
Yeah.
So you're right, it does kind of fit. There you go.
Woo!
All right,
cohesive episode.
Bye.